Welcome to today's podcast, Casting Down Idols. This is the podcast where we talk about addictions and recovery from a biblical point of view. I'm your host, Pastor Mike Dixon, and I'm addressing the problem of addictions from my own personal experience, but most importantly, from a biblical perspective. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, gambling, or overeating, or whatever struggle you may be facing, I want you to know there's hope for change. It's my prayer that through this podcast, you'll pick up some tools and encouragement that will enable you to live addiction-free. I've been clean and sober now for 31 years, and you can too. So let's learn, grow, let's encourage one another on this road called recovery. Hello everyone, it's Pastor Mike back on the podcast. Thank you for tuning in to this episode today. So glad you've joined us. If this podcast is a blessing to you, please share it with a friend. It might be a blessing to somebody else. By all means, go to the host page, give us a positive review, maybe a 5-star rating so we can reach more people with this podcast. Casting Down Idols. This podcast is about dealing with substance use disorders or addictions from a biblical perspective, to understand them the way that our Creator tells us through the Holy Bible, and also, most importantly, to receive the remedy, the solution to our struggles that only God offers. God created us. He knows better than anyone else how we ought to be living, how we ought to be dealing with struggles that we face. Today's episode is going in honor of a dear friend of mine. His name is Keith. He lives in Seven Springs, North Carolina. Let me tell you what Keith did. Keith went to our Facebook page and clicked on the donation tab and made a financial donation towards Life Ministries. Life Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so any gifts given are tax deductible. But Keith went to our Facebook page and made a financial donation towards the ministry, and that helps fund even this podcast as we try to reach out to the world, people that are struggling under addiction. So thank you, Keith. And if you'd like to make a financial donation as well, it's real easy. You can go to our website, which is lifeaddictionrecovery.com. There's a tab there where you can donate, or you can find us on Facebook, Life Ministry. There's also a donation tab on the Facebook page that you can click on, and you can support this wonderful ministry by your financial giving. I want to thank you in advance for doing that. And so thank you, Brother Keith, for your financial gift in making this podcast possible. Life Ministries also utilizes funding to help people get into detox, residential programs, to get them the help that they need, as well as training materials, teaching materials that we use in the Life Ministry from week to week. So your financial support is valuable. You're making a difference in the world and saving lives when you support Life Ministries. Life meets every Tuesday night beginning at 6:30. We meet at Oakdale Baptist Church's Family Life Center, which is located at 13037 Highway 64 West, right here in Rocky Mount. Today is October 22nd. Today is a Tuesday. And so tonight we're going to be meeting. And so it's every Tuesday night at the same place at the same time. We begin at 6:30 with a meal together. Then we have a time of worship, group study, and we try to conclude each Tuesday night in small groups as we pray and encourage one another. Open to men and women, won't cost you a thing. So you have nothing to lose and maybe everything to gain. So I hope that you'll come out either tonight or any Tuesday night. Come out and be a part of what God's doing through the Life Ministry. Now, recently in our Life program, we've been talking about the subject of building our relationship with God. In recent weeks, we studied the aspect of abundant life and how we can go about living in that abundant life that Jesus promised us. And we do that through faith. We do that through prayer. We do that through listening and obeying what God says and by setting godly goals. In recent weeks on Tuesday nights, we've been talking about those different aspects of what it means to walk in and live in that abundant life. And so I want to build on that foundation that we've already laid in previous episodes on the podcast, most importantly in our Tuesday night meetings as Life has been meeting as we talk about today, building our relationship with God. You know, I can say this with all my heart, and I hope that you can sincerely. I'm not always what I need to be spiritually, but I am so much more today than I've ever been before. Can you say that? I hope that you can. You know, I know none of us are perfect. I know that God's not finished working on us and making us into the image of Christ. And that process won't stop until we stand before the Lord and we're going to be made in perfection just like He is. But until that time, the Bible says that God is conforming us into the image of His Son. So we ought to all be able to look back. And even though, as we honestly confess, I'm not everything I ought to be always now. But I tell you what, I'm more today than I've ever been before in my relationship with the Lord. And so I hope and pray that you can say that. A few weeks ago, we discussed the importance of faith in God. That's where our spiritual healing begins, when we enter into recovery. This, however, is only the beginning of a lifelong change process that the Bible calls sanctification. Now, I know that's a long, fancy word, but basically what that's talking about is being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. To be sanctified means to be set apart. I'm set apart from the world, and I'm set apart unto God. So think about holiness, and that's something that needs to happen in our lives continuously, day after day after day. And so I'm never finished in this work of sanctification where I'm filled with the Spirit and I'm walking in holiness, and neither are you. And so sanctification speaks to us about the change that ought to be happening in our life. I hope you can look back on your life and you can see how God has brought change in your life. Even the great men and women that we see in the Bible that we oftentimes look up to and say they're more than human, maybe like superheroes. I'm thinking about Abraham and Moses and Paul and Peter and all those well-known names in the Bible. Even those individuals were in that change process. And you know the amazing thing about the Word of God? In fact, I believe one of the great evidences that the Bible is God's Word is that we don't just have the good side of all these great Hebrew leaders recorded in the Bible, but we've also got their bad side. We've got their strengths, but we've also got their weaknesses listed. We've got their victories as they walked in recovery, if you would, but we've also got a record of their relapses. You know, I wonder today if you had superheroes that you looked up to as a child when you were growing up. I remember when I was a boy, we looked up to people like Superman, Batman and Robin, the Green Hornet. I don't know how many of you remember the Green Hornet. Maybe I'm telling my age. But what was your favorite superhero? And even today, you know, even whatever stage you are in life, whether you're a youth or whether you're an adolescent or whether you're an adult, maybe you're well into your adult years, who is it that you look up to now? You know, maybe we don't call them superheroes, but we've all got people that we look up to. And no matter who they are and how good they are, unless it's Jesus Christ, they have imperfections. They have sinful tendencies. And let me tell you, I do and you do too. And the enemy, Satan himself, he is a student of human nature. So he's studying you. He's going to find out where your weakness is, where that kink in the armor is, and that's where he's going to attack you. In fact, it's in our weak tendencies that we tend to fall back into the old patterns of living, where we relapse. You know, you think about relapse and you think about what relapse means. Actually, it's a turn for the worse. Relapse means you're falling back into destructive, even sinful patterns of life that you've tried to leave behind you. Maybe after a period of time in recovery, a period of time into change, but you've fallen back into those old patterns. That's what relapse is. And I use that term because even when I think about the superheroes of the Bible, even they had relapses. I think about Noah. You know, you can read in Genesis chapter 9 where Noah got drunk, and in his drunkenness he was naked and ashamed. And that's recorded in Genesis chapter 9. That's the same man that God used to build the ark to save Noah and his family. I think about Moses. I believe Moses had a relapse. He fell back into the old way of dealing with things when God told him, I don't want you to strike the rock, but I want you to speak to the rock, and I'm going to give my people water from the rock as you speak to it. And Moses, I would say Pastor Moses, was so fed up with the people of God because of their belly aching and their griping and their complaining that in his anger, he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. So he was disobedient to God. Why? Because he fell back into the old pattern, the old ways of doing things, acting in his flesh instead of trusting God. That's recorded in Exodus chapter 32. I think about Abraham, who's known as the father of the faithful. Abraham in Genesis chapter 20. found himself in a very difficult place, and he lied. He lied about his wife being his wife, and he said, "She's only my sister. She's not my wife." That's in Genesis chapter 20. Simon Peter in Matthew chapter 26. You remember Simon Peter. I can so relate to Simon Peter because Simon Peter was so good at putting his foot in his mouth. And so many times I feel like I'm pretty good at that myself. I don't know about you, but Peter was good at that. And remember, Peter was one of the apostles. He was one of the inner circle members that actually walked and talked with Jesus, saw the miracles, actually touched him, actually lived under his teaching and his guidance and his miracles. And yet Peter relapsed. In fact, I want to read this portion of scripture to you. It's in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 57. And it says, "And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Now, if you remember the context of Matthew chapter 26, Jesus has already been arrested. He's already appeared before a mock trial. They're getting ready to take him to Calvary. He's going to be crucified for the sins of the world. And the Bible says that when our Lord was arrested, all his followers, all his disciples ran. I mean, they just ran for their lives. And Simon Peter, here's a man who at a distance, he's keeping his distance from things, but he still wants to find out what's going to happen to his teacher, what's going to happen to his friend, what's going to happen to Jesus. So the Bible says that Peter's in this courtyard and he's keeping his distance from Jesus. He's following at a distance. And I believe that's significant. You talk about recovery and you talk about living a new life and taking opportunity to take advantage of this new beginning that God has made available to you and your relationship with the Lord, building on that relationship with God. You got to make sure you're not following at a distance. You know, every time in the Bible where I read about people being at a distance from the Lord, a distance from God, it's never good news. It's always bad news. We've got to draw close to God. If you're going to build on your faith, if you're going to have the power and the strength that you need to continue on this road of recovery, to be the man or the woman that God wants you to be and God's equipped you to be, you got to make sure you're doing everything you can to draw as close to God as you can. Don't find yourself at a distance. Because even when we look at Simon Peter's situation here in the Bible, we note that his distance from the Lord set him up for failure. He's getting ready to have a relapse, and it's all rooted in the fact that he was not close to the Savior, that he allowed this space to come between him and the Master. And remember, Simon Peter is the apostle who boasted one day before the Lord. He said, "Everyone else may forsake you, but I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never forsake you." What was it that led up to Peter's relapse, falling back into the old pattern of dealing with things? Well, his distance from the Lord is really a symptom of a much deeper problem. And what's happening in Peter's heart is that we know there's fear there. He's afraid for his own life. It was out of fear that he begins to relapse and to fall back into acting in the flesh. It was worry. It was an emotional response that Peter had that actually led him to a place of relapse. And my friend, listen, we've got to be on guard because the enemy is sly. And in those times when our emotions are maybe critical or negative, when our emotions are raised to a level that above what they would be normally, we've got to be on guard because the enemy will use those times in our lives to cause us to relapse and to fall back into the flesh. Fall back into the old patterns of dealing with things. Now, I want to read the rest of this account recorded in Matthew chapter 26. In fact, I'm going to pick up in verse 69. It says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you're saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later those who stood by came up and said to Jesus, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed." Now that's the biblical account of Peter's relapse. When Peter denies the Lord three times, he automatically remembers something Jesus had said to Peter sometime before this event happened. Jesus predicted that Peter was going to deny him three times before the rooster crowed. Now, at that point in time, Peter had no idea what the Lord was talking about. In fact, Peter thought it was ridiculous. He disagreed. He said, "Oh, no, I'll never deny you." But now when it came to fulfillment and the rooster crowed, Peter just realized, I've denied the Lord three times, just like he said I was going to do. I have fallen back into the old patterns of responding to things. I have relapsed. So Simon Peter, responding in fear, denies the Lord. In fact, he goes even further than that, and he cusses. He's cursing because he wants to prove, I'm not a disciple, I'm not a Christian. But the good news in this account is that the Lord still loved Peter. And it's right after he relapsed, right after he committed this sin, he's convicted in his heart and he repents before God. He's sorry about what he's done, and he's sorry enough about what he's done to want to change. I believe the Lord used this occasion in Peter's life really to burst Peter's bubble of ego. Peter always thought so highly of himself. He always boasted how he was going to do this great thing or that great thing. And the Lord is showing him through this, this is where the flesh leads you. When you begin to walk in your power, when you think that you can do it and you don't need me, you're headed for failure. You're headed for relapse. Peter had to learn that lesson. Now, the good news in this story is it doesn't end in the Gospel of Matthew, but over in John chapter 21, you've got the account where the Lord has arisen from the grave. He's in a resurrection body. He tells the ladies who come and see him, he says, I want you to go tell my disciples and Peter, and he names Peter. I want you to tell Peter, I'm alive, and I want to meet with him. Why did the Lord name Peter? Because the Lord wanted Peter to know, I still love you. Even in your failure, I still love you. I still care about you. I want to restore you. And in John chapter 21, you've got the account where the Lord in a resurrection body appears, and he's there on the seashore with Simon Peter. And the Lord Jesus asks Peter three times. He says, Peter, do you love me? Three times he asks him, and in those first two times where the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, of course, Lord, you know I love you. And then that third time, the Bible says in John 21 that it broke Peter's heart. It convicted him because he remembered, I've denied the Lord three times, and he's asking me this three times, do you love me? The Lord's restoring Peter. Jesus is saying, Peter, I know what you've done, but you're forgiven. I still care about you. I know you've repented of your wrong, and you've learned a lesson through your wrong, and I'm restoring you back into right fellowship with me. You know, our mistakes and failures don't have to continue to be a negative thing in our past. Actually, they can be positives. They can be productive. They can be stepping stones. If we learn from our failures, if we allow those shortcomings in the past to help us to be stronger in our faith and to build on our relationship with God, they no longer are a negative thing, but they become a positive thing. You know, again, I stand on Romans 8:28, for all things work for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God's able to take everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, the mountaintop experiences, the valley experiences, in those times where I'm victorious, and even in those times that I falter and fail, God's big enough to transform even those moments in a way to bring honor and glory to him. God was doing that in Peter's life. I believe with all my heart that Peter learned a valuable lesson through this ordeal. But let me say this, relapse doesn't have to be part of your recovery. Relapse doesn't have to be part of your life. You don't have to expect to fall back into the old patterns and the old ways of doing things. You know, there's a difference between making a mistake, sinning, getting off track, and actually relapsing into old patterns of sinful living. There's a big difference between the two. So do not expect relapse in your life. Expect to be victorious. I've been walking in sobriety now for over 30 years. My friend, I believe that every time we relapse, every time we fall back into the old way of living, it's our fault. We've gotten our eyes off the Lord, and we've distanced ourselves from God and our relationship with him. We've got to build on that relationship. I want to challenge you to draw so close to God that there's not enough room between you and God for the enemy to even get a foothold in between the two of you and trip you up. And as I record this podcast, we're nearing the end of the month of October, so I know the holiday season is upon us. It's right around the corner, and I know for a lot of people, when we get into Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, November and December and even into January, they struggle with staying clean. Sobriety seems to be a challenge. We're tempted to go back. It's a festive time of year, and so there's a lot of celebrating going on around us, and a lot of that celebrating is going to include things that could draw us back and cause us to relapse. And so right here at this point in time, where we are on the calendar, whatever day, whatever month this is that you're listening to this episode, You've got to be diligent. You got to go ahead and make your mind up right now that you're going to be victorious over temptation, that you're not going to fall back into the old way of living. I tell a true story in my book, Casting Down Idols, about an older gentleman who had loved sports all his life. He loved to attend ball games and cheer his favorite teams on to victory. In high school and college, he actually played on the football team. This man was involved in a terrible farming accident one day in which he lost his right arm at the elbow. Immediately, it seemed like depression and despondency began to settle into his heart. He felt as though life would never be enjoyable again. He became so discouraged that he even stopped attending ball games. He was devastated. One day a friend convinced him to go out and play some handball with him for exercise. This man with one arm discovered that he was pretty good at this sport. He began playing handball on a regular basis, and before long he became very competitive at playing this sport. He even began to play in tournaments and won many of those, even over men much younger than he. People were amazed at how well this one-armed man could play handball. People were fascinated by his story and determination. Well, the newspaper came to interview this man, and the reporter asked him, "How did you do it?" The man responded, "Decisions." The reporter, of course, was not satisfied with that simple response, so she asked him, "What do you mean by decisions?" He answered, "Well, it's simple. When the ball comes at my opponent, he has to immediately decide if he's going to hit that ball with his right hand or his left hand. When the ball is swirling toward me, I have already decided." You know what, my friend? That's what we must do. We must right now decide, I'm going to overcome when temptation comes my way. I'm even going to flee from it if that's what I need to do. And God will give you all you need not to fall back into the old way of living, not to relapse. God will give you all that you need to be the godly person He desires for you to be. God's done it for so many, recorded in the pages of the Bible, and ever since then, even in my life. And God is faithful to give you all that you need. You can be victorious. You can overcome temptation, but you got to make a decision right now. I'm going to be diligent in this. I'm going to be headstrong. My heart's going to be focused on the Lord. I'm going to draw so close to Him to get the power and the strength I need to be victorious in the way that I live my life. My friend, make sure there's not a distance between you and the Lord. Draw close to Him. There's another passage I want to share with you from God's Word in the New Testament, in the book of James. In fact, right now on Sunday nights at Oakdale Baptist Church, I'm going through a series with our congregation from the book of James. In James chapter 4, verse 7, you know, often we hear part of this verse quoted, and it's going to sound familiar. In fact, I'm going to read the second part of the verse. Often we hear people say this, "Well, you know, I know the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you." And I don't think I've ever heard anybody really quote the whole verse. It's only that part of the verse that I hear people quote, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, the first part of that verse is just as important as the second part. In fact, if you don't get the first part right, you're not going to be able to get the second part right. And so let me read the whole verse. This is James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You see, my friend, you got to first make sure you're submitted to God. You can't resist the devil in your own power and expect him to flee. You're not strong enough. In the flesh, you're going to fail. You've got to make sure you've submitted yourself to God first, and that means bowing down to His Lordship. That's understanding it's not about my plans and my dreams and what I want for my life, but Lord, it's about what You want for my life. I am Your servant. I am Your slave. I'm submitting to Your Word. I'm submitting to Your Holy Spirit. I'm submitting to Your leadership in my life today. And so many people today, when it comes to submitting or submission, they think that word is a bad word. They shun that word. They say, "Oh no, I'm not going to submit to anybody. Submission, don't talk to me about submission." Well, submission is a good thing. Submission is a freeing thing. Submission is an attitude of the heart that really brings freedom and liberty to your life. When I submit to the Lordship of Christ, He's promising He's going to take care of me. He's going to guide me. He's going to lead me. He's got a plan and a vision for my life that's far more beautiful than anything I could ever create and ever conjure up. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Bow down before Him. Make sure on the throne of your life sits the Savior and not you. Then you're in a position to resist the devil because you've got a power you wouldn't have otherwise. You've got the power of God dwelling in you to empower you to resist the devil. And then he's going to flee from you. And then James 4, verse 8, the very next verse says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now that passage is talking about in brokenness, I need to understand. In my flesh, I need to be broken. In my ability, I need to be exhausted. I need to come to the Lord and understand nothing in my hand I bring. Only to your cross I cling. Lord, I need you. And so we need to draw close to God. He tells us right there in verses 7 and 8, submit to God, draw near to God, draw close to God, submit to him. And then you need to resist the devil. And he wants to ultimately pull you away from the Savior. And so you got to have a plan right now, just like the man in that story that I just told you with the one arm. You got to have a plan right now that you're going to be victorious. You're going to overcome. You're not going to fall back into sin. And then also the Bible says in verse 8, you need to cleanse and purify yourself. You know, make sure your heart is right with God. God is not pleased with anybody who's double-minded. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. When you say Jesus is Lord of your life, that means that you're confessing that he is the most important person, most important presence in your life. He's number one priority. So cleanse, get out of your life anything that's displeasing to God. Purify yourself. You know, you do that through conviction by the Holy Spirit, but also through repentance. And then get serious. You know, get serious right now. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What does that verse mean to you? That's a promise from our Savior. You know, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are going to be added unto you. What does that promise mean to you? What does that verse mean to you in Matthew 6:33? You know, to me it means as long as I keep the Lord number one priority in my life, as long as I'm bowing before him and allowing him to be Lord in my life, he's my master, he's the boss, he's the one that I'm following him, he's not following me. I want to take his word, I want to apply his word, I want to live in obedience to what he tells me to do because I'm submitting to him. When I live with that kind of heart attitude, the Lord's promising, you know, these other things that you need, I'm going to take care of those things. If you put me first in your life, all these other things are going to fall into place. How about you, my friend? What's the number one thing in your life? What is most important to you? Who is it that calls the shots? When you get up in the morning and you look at the day before you, or even you plan your week ahead, do you even think about God? Do you even go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I don't want it to be about me. I don't want my plans. I don't want to walk in the flesh. Because I know what walking in the flesh gets me. I'm going to do nothing but fall back. I'm going to do nothing but relapse. If it happened to Simon Peter, he was an apostle, walked with the Lord, side by side with the Lord. If it could happen to Peter, listen, it can happen to you and it can happen to me. We got to be diligent. And I'm just telling you today in this episode, the greatest thing that you can do in self-care to make sure that you don't fall back into relapse is to make sure you're building on that relationship with God. You're drawing close to him in every way that you can. My friend, I hope this episode has been a challenge to you today. I hope that maybe it has encouraged you, enriched your faith. I pray that maybe it's gotten somebody back on track. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If I can pray about something for you, or if I can join you in prayer concerning a need with you, I'd be glad to do that. Maybe there's a topic on this podcast you'd like for me to talk about as we meet together here on the airways. I'd be glad to hear your suggestions as well. My email address is pastormike@obcbaptist.org. And you can find it there probably on the host page, wherever you're listening to this episode today. But I'd love to hear from you. Pray for one another this coming week. I look forward to. Also, please check out our Facebook page. We've got a Life Ministry Facebook page. We've also got a Casting Down Idols that's in direct correlation to this podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Like us there if you would. And that way you can stay in touch. We try to keep assignments posted as well as new episodes to this podcast there as well. Let me pray with you today as we conclude. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for reminding us today that the most important thing in our lives needs to be building upon that relationship that started between us and you the moment we put our heart belief, our heart faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to be reminded that that decision that we made at whatever point in time it was is not the end, but it's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a lifetime of Holy Spirit change that we need to be receptive to in our lives. We've got to be diligent. Lord, thank you for your word that gives us instruction, gives us truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us power. Thank you for your body of believers, the local church that gives us support. And Lord, I believe with those things, we have all that we need to live the life you've called us to live. Thank you for the power that you offer us, that chains can fall off. We don't have to be addicts. We don't have to be alcoholics. We don't have to be chained to addictions, destructive lifestyles, but we can be free from all those things. God, you offer us that by your grace. So Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us on this road of recovery to get to a place where we understand I've been delivered. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not an addict anymore. I don't struggle with those temptations anymore to want to go back into that lifestyle. Thank you for the freedom, the deliverance, for the transformation you offer. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. God bless you. Pray for one another. Be encouraged. Know that God loves you. God's there for you. Be intent today. You're going to be focused on Him. You're going to walk. You're going to live the life that God has called you to live. God bless.